Welcome to Calvary Church. We hope you enjoy our latest message. For more information, you can check us out at calvarysimcoe.com or you can visit us on Facebook or Instagram.
Today we're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians 2, 6 to 16. If you have your Bibles with you, you can open them up there. A little bit of background while you guys get there in your Bibles. We know it's written by the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul, and Paul is writing to respond to a report that he has received, and by no means was this a positive report. We know Paul was responding to a church that was off the rails, off the deep end. They had major issues going on in this church, major issues like division, incest. There's lawsuits, people suing each other within the congregations, members even going to prostitutes, and other sexual immorality. There's abuse in speaking in tongues and spiritual gifts, and the list goes on and on and on. I remember Pastor Jay talking about this passage, and he says, when things look bad, I can always say, I'm not pastoring the church in Corinth. So, just as a little joke. What amazes me, though, was Paul's motive with this church that was off the deep end, off the rails. He continued to minister in love. His motive was love. But a careful reading of this letter will expose one of Paul's biggest concerns. And that concern is, what does it mean to be spiritual, to have wisdom? What does it mean to be taught by the Spirit and to have the mind of Christ? Paul was confronted by these so-called super apostles who thought that they have arrived at another super spiritual level. And really, they had no clue what it meant to have the mind of Christ. If they did, there wouldn't be all those issues going on with their church. To be transformed by the teaching of the Holy Spirit. You see, this congregation, it was planted in one of the biggest trading centers in the world at that time. It was in between two ports. And that congregation, there was educated and sophisticated people coming to it. That was the society of the day. Educated, sophisticated, wealthy people. Many of the elite and the rich now were following the way, being converted, and ending up in the church at Corinth. And with it, these people brought, though, they brought their attitude and the behavior of thinking that they have arrived at some super spiritual level because they figured their blessing meant that they had made it to another level. I've been around people like that who think they're on another spiritual level. But I love how, with the Bible, it's impossible to get there. I love even in our walk, it's impossible to get to another super spiritual level. We're all on the same level in God's eyes. Especially if you're being taught by the Holy Spirit through the Bible. That's when you realize, no, I'm not quite there yet. Because the Bible continues to go deeper and deeper. And this is where we pick up in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16, with Paul addressing what true wisdom is and what it leads to. Let's read it together. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Whatever we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgment about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. For who has known the mind of the Lord as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that you would speak to each and every person in this room today, Lord, that they'd be transformed by your word. Thank you, that's the way you continue to choose to reveal yourself, Lord. Thank you for the gift that it is, how precious it is, Lord. Pray that your words would go forth, Lord, my words would fall flat. We pray this in your mighty name, in Jesus' name, amen. So we are in our series entitled The Holy Spirit, Misunderstood God. Today, we are going to be talking about Holy Spirit, our teacher. I know Pastor Jay has already touched on this briefly in his Paraclete teaching, and if you missed that last week, I'd encourage you to check it out on our podcast. It was a powerful message. I love this passage we just read, because shortly after I received my baptism in the Holy Spirit, this was like an aha moment for me. All of a sudden, my devotional life changed. Things in the scripture that seemed hard to understand, all of a sudden there was clarity brought to them. The words all of a sudden would start jumping off the page. Holy Spirit would whisper a verse, and I'd go right there. And then he'd show me another spot in the Bible to bring clarity. I can't believe how much my devotional life changed after being baptized in the Spirit. Because he is our teacher. The Holy Spirit is the best teacher. All through the Old Testament, we see the Holy Spirit as referred to as either the Spirit of truth or the Spirit of wisdom. So who better to teach us than God himself, his Spirit? In John 14, it says, "The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you everything I have said to you." And in Luke, it says, "For the Holy Spirit will teach you at the time what you should say." We've all had good teachers, but I can guarantee you none of your teachers would give you the answer to the test, right? And we've all had good teachers, and we've all had bad teachers. I've had some bad teachers. I'm sure some of you guys have as well. I see some people nodding and giggling. I know that I need to be careful here because, like I said, there is many excellent educators here in the room, and I know my kids have actually been blessed to be under their ministry. Yeah, I said ministry in the public school system. So can we just take a moment just to give them thanks? Can we thank the educators in the building? Can we keep them in prayer? They have a tough job. It's never been a harder time to be a Christian teacher than today. Okay, back to teachers. I remember sitting in class and feeling like Charlie Brown. Anyone ever been there before? You know, where the adults are speaking and it's just like, womp, 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 womp. And you're getting nothing out of what they're saying. You could really care less, right? But I've also had teachers that would teach with a passion that was so contagious that they could even make history exciting. I can't believe that. I don't know how they do it. It's a gift. I've had teachers in my life teach me many things, from science, from math, English, even theology. But the best teachers, they always had this one thing in common. That was their teaching was practical, in the sense that it always went past information and into my heart. It equipped me and gave me a skill, even if at times that skill seemed useless, like learning calculus. I still can't believe I signed up for calculus. Like, who does that? I don't know. I'm not sure what I was thinking. Anyway, their agenda, these best teachers, their agenda was not transactional. They weren't just trying to relay information. And that's the Holy Spirit. Friends, the Holy Spirit is the most practical teacher. Because his greatest desire is not to just bring you information, but transformation. The Holy Spirit is a transformational leader. A transformational teacher. And we have to realize that, because even the devil has all the information, but he's still not going to follow Jesus. There's many people in the world, even from other religions, that would say the Bible is good, but would never let it transform them, would never let the information move from their head to their heart. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He teaches us to transform, not to inform. His goal is not your happiness, your prosperity, your wealth. His goal is to transform you to be more and more into the likeness of Christ. As the passage says, it's to give you the mind of Christ to prepare you for eternity. He is so patient, and he is constantly equipping us. You know, when I was getting this ready, it made me think of a time that I was building a pantry. We ordered a pantry from IKEA. Has anyone ever put IKEA furniture together? You know, like, the instructions are so clear. Like, I think you get a picture that's like going back to kindergarten, and you're just trying to figure out pictures. You can't even read anything. So I thought, okay, Ava asked to help, and I thought, well, my marriage has already survived putting together IKEA furniture. Ashley and I have done this many times. How much harder could it be to let Ava help me with this, right? So we unpackage the box, we get the instructions, and we have all these pieces everywhere, cam locks, tools, hammers, and right from the get-go, nothing was going right. We were trying to put stuff together. Pieces were falling off, getting over-tightened, not tightened enough, and I was getting frustrated. I was supposed to be the teacher, but here I am losing my patience, and I found myself more and more just grabbing the tools, grabbing the boards, putting things together. Next thing I know, I look around. Ava's nowhere to be found. Man, I failed. Father, daughter, I would suggest another experience than putting together IKEA furniture. But the Holy Spirit doesn't do that. The Holy Spirit is constantly equipping us. Even if we fail, he'll let us fail many, many times, again and again and again. But he'll constantly just give us another opportunity, another chance to listen, another chance to pray for someone, another chance to give. The Holy Spirit is so patient. He is constantly giving us practical tools to follow Jesus. Let's look at verses 10 to 12 again. It says, "These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thought except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. So that we may understand what God has freely given us." Brings me to my second point. The Holy Spirit teaches us so that we may understand. The things of God revealed to us by his Spirit. Holy Spirit is constantly revealing to us Jesus, the things in the spiritual realm, constantly revealing to us our destiny and God's redemptive plan, God's plan to advance the kingdom of God in and through you. The Holy Spirit has been given to us so that we may understand. He is our teacher, the best teacher. And like I said earlier, I still can't believe how reading my Bible took a dramatic shift after I received my baptism in the Spirit. My Spirit baptism changed the way I see this book. The information I once knew from growing up was coming alive within me. The stories I heard as a Sunday school student at home with a devotional, they were now changing who I was. And the things I found difficult to accept or understand became clear. I used to read the Bible as more of a rule book or an instruction manual, constantly trying harder, trying to submit myself more and more to Christ and what his word said. Now I read this Bible with the Holy Spirit, with a relationship. And as I read and study the Bible, the Spirit now illuminates and brings revelation to what I am reading. The Holy Spirit is so patient and so kind because I was like the Corinthians. I thought I have arrived. I thought I knew enough to make it into heaven. That's just surface level. Information will only ever take you surface deep. Deep calls to deep. The Holy Spirit is searching my deep. In my deep, in the spirit within, my heart, my spirit man, he's constantly searching deeper and deeper, revealing to me God's destiny, God's plan, God's purpose for my life, for your life. And I know that can be scary. I think of the, maybe you guys have seen a Facebook meme with two people on a roller coaster. One person on the roller coaster is loving it, like hands in the air, yeah, let's go. And the other person is holding on for dear life with like a face like, oh, can't believe I'm on here. And I know that's sometimes that's what it can seem like when you're trying to follow the Holy Spirit. But I promise you, eventually you're going to be like the other person with their hands up in the air, enjoying the ride. Check out verse 9. It says, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him." As we let the Holy Spirit lead and teach us, we continue to get a fuller and fuller revelation of Jesus. And that revelation will bring your God-appointed destiny. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. The Holy Spirit wants to teach and reveal Jesus. His favorite subject is Jesus. A full revelation of Jesus will bring you to a full revelation of your God-appointed destiny. If we look at Paul's life, we see that he had a revelation of Jesus on the road to Damascus. He had a full revelation. Paul thought he was doing God's work, killing and persecuting Christians, until he had a full revelation. Now the man who once persecuted and killed them was their apostle. The passage before this one also reminds us that Paul came with fear and trembling to the city of Corinth to minister to these people. What was he scared of? We know it wasn't of man, because history tells us Paul was used to being persecuted, beaten, imprisoned. He even survived an attempted stoning. But I think he was scared of his God-appointed duty. He came in fear and trembling, delivering a message of what the world considered foolishness, and knowing that Jesus had appointed him to share the gospel with the Gentiles, that is, to reach the world. So he wasn't in fear and trembling of man, but he was anxiously trying to figure out how God would use him to pull off this enormous plan, asking himself, how can I walk this God-appointed duty out? How can I carry out this full revelation of what Jesus means to my life? Paul's life shows how much the Holy Spirit loves to transform people and teach us how to walk out God's plan for our lives. Holy Spirit is longing to teach and to guide you into your God-appointed destiny. And in our limitations, we need the Holy Spirit to teach us how to walk out God's plan. Because I promise you, his plan is going to seem bigger than you are able. But all things are possible with God. A God-appointed destiny should leave you with a healthy dose of fear, trembling, awe, and wonder. If not, it might be something you made up yourself. Isaiah 48:17 says this, "I am the Lord your God who teaches you what is best for you and who directs you in the way that you should go." God's ways are higher than ours. He has a God-sized plan for whatever you are facing. So how does he teach us? How do we get there? One way is in this passage. In verse 13, it says, "Words taught by the Spirit." This tells us that the Holy Spirit is teaching us, giving us words, prophetic words, God-ordained destinies. What would happen if we submitted our lives to these words? I'm telling you, atmospheres would shift, businesses would be birthed, families would thrive, marriages would be restored, people would be healed, miracles would be the norm in our midst if we would submit to the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit. That's great, Pastor Dan, but how do we get there? How do I get to a place where I'm receiving words taught by the Spirit? That brings me to my third point. The divine word requires a divine interpretation. The Bible is a miracle, written on three different continents, in three different languages, by 40 different authors, all through the Holy Spirit, and over a span of roughly 2,000 years, yet it's still one consistent story. Backed by historians, science, archaeology, but most importantly, the millions of people that are transformed by it every day. It's a supernatural book, So it only makes sense that we should read it supernaturally. That is, with the help of the author, the Holy Spirit. Verse 13 says this: "What we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words." If you want words taught from the Spirit, you need to read words written by the Spirit. You got to open your Bible. I love the quote. Anyone ever hear this quote? "Don't say God is silent when your Bible is closed." Yeah, it's good. I heard it on, I think it was a KB song, a Christian rapper, but it goes way farther back than that. He stole it. Our teacher, the Holy Spirit, longs to take you deeper into the Scriptures, longs to teach you about spiritual realities, about the things of God, about the kingdom of God, about God's redemptive plan, and how he wants to adopt you as a child of God. His favorite subject is Jesus. He wants to read the Bible with you. And sometimes that takes time. I was thinking about Christmas. I got in my stocking this year a 3-minute devotional from Ashley. She put it in my stocking there. And I love that 3-minute devotional because if I'm in a rush, I can just quickly open it up. I can get a word from God just quickly. 3 minutes, in, out, done. And if I come on Sunday, I can listen to a sermon. But if that's all we're getting spiritually, that would be like the equivalent of going to McDonald's breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Man, we got to go deeper. Spirit calls to deep. And there are many ways to do an in-depth Bible study. You can do word studies, topical studies. You can even look at multiple translations to try to get a better grasp of what the original language was saying. But I want to give you one method. It's not a formula. It's just one method that I have found effective in my life and in those around me. I've done this on my own. I continue to do this on my own. I actually have the instructions in my Bible thing over there. I've done this with my kids. I've done it as a family. And I've even done it with our youth group. It's a method called Lectio Divina, which is Latin for divine reading. Divine book needs divine interpretation. And this is a biblical model that dates back to about 500 AD. And it's a model of biblically, prayerfully reading and meditating on God's word. Meditation. I know a lot of you already are going, "Oh, that doesn't sound biblical. Don't the Buddhists meditate? Isn't this like a new world thing? What's happening here?" Dan, are you on the right track? I am. This is actually a method that has been stolen and abused by the devil. Yep. Taken a bit of the truth and twisted it for his own purposes. Yep. Meditation is all through the Bible. Joshua, we see, "Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you can be careful to do everything written in it." Psalms 1, verses 1 to 2. "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night." And I want to end in Philippians 4, New King James Version. I know there's some fans of the New King James Version out there. "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and there is anything praiseworthy," and here it is, "meditate on these things." The devil will continue to steal and pervert what God has made holy. But meditation was always God's first. Okay, here it is. Could I get the slide for this up, Lectio Divina? And there is also handouts. If anyone's interested, there's handouts at the back table. Awesome. Okay, first step, you're going to pick a passage. A great place to start if you've never done this before, Psalm 23. Next, you're going to spend a minute just relaxing, removing any distraction, focusing on God, putting your heart in prayer, taking deep breaths and focusing on God. Then you're going to take a first reading of the passage, very slow, methodically. You're going to pause once you're through it and take a second reading. Again, slow and pause, but this time you're going to note anything that stands out. Third reading, again, slow. You want to take your time through this. And you're going to repeat any phrase or any word that stands out. You may even want to underline them, circle them. And number six, reflect and pray. Let the message interact with your memories, your thoughts, other Bible passages. Let it touch your heart and ask God what he wants to say to you. Ask God if he has a word for you. Pause and listen. Write down what God is saying. And number seven, this is important, rest and be still. Be still in God's presence. Lastly, respond. Ask yourself, does this word align with God? Does it align with the Bible? You really need, I can't stress this enough, you need to take some time for discernment here. Make sure it aligns with God's word. You may need to even bounce this off of people that are more mature in the faith than you. And then ask yourself, what does God want me to do with this word? What's the next step? And that's it. That's one of the best methods I have seen for getting a word from God. I've done this, like I said, with the youth group. And at the end of it, I asked, so how many of you guys have heard from God? 90% of the hands went up. At the end of it, one person came up to me and said, thank you so much, Pastor Dan. This is the closest that I've ever felt to Jesus. If you have read through the Psalms, you'll see multiple passages about how David would meditate on God's word. He would meditate on God's character, his creation, and he was a man after God's own heart. God's word was never meant to be a once and done thing. He calls us back to it, to chew on it, to memorize it, to digest it, to meditate on it. He is constantly revealing new things as we do this. You know, it amazes me about the scriptures. Like I said earlier, you can go as deep as you want. You could rake the surface or you could grab a shovel and a pickaxe and dig as far as you want. And what amazes me is I talk to pastors that have been in this way longer than I have, and they'll say to me one thing, I just can't believe that every time I open the Bible, after studying it for some 30, some 40 years, that God shows me something new. There's something new every time. Every time you open the Bible. So today, I want to encourage you to not just read your Bible, but to read your Bible with the Holy Spirit. Let the author speak to you while you read. We have been given the Holy Spirit to teach us. Can I get a keyboard player, the worship? I won't get the whole worship team. Just the keys is great. Thank you very much. You know, as I was preparing this week, I came across a study, a survey from Lifeway Research that found that only 11% of Christians have read the entire Bible cover to cover. Less than half of professing Christians read their Bible daily. I don't think that's the norm at Calvary, but it's a word for the church that, man, we got to get into our Bibles again. And then the Holy Spirit brought me here. He brought me to one of the most tragic Bible verses that I could think of. Samuel 3 verse 1 says, in those days, the word of the Lord was rare. Ouch. Samuel, a boy, didn't know enough about the Lord to recognize that it wasn't Eli talking to him. It wasn't the pastor talking to him. It was God. How could this happen? He grew up in the house of the Lord. His mom dedicated him to the service of the Lord. I think this passage follows a generational failure. First, Eli failed to disciple and restrain his own kids. And now he has almost failed to disciple Samuel, a child that was entrusted to him from God. See, all three of these boys grew up in the temple, memorizing scripture, helping with the sacrifices. They were probably even there when the priest once a year that was selected went into the Holy of Holies. They had all the information. They had all the social gatherings. They celebrated all the feasts. But still, they had no idea how to encounter the Lord. And that's a picture of some churches today. I'm glad it's not a picture of our church. That's why we put such a priority on the presence of God. Because if we're not careful, the Christian church can look that way. It can become another social gathering where we celebrate all the holidays, Christmas and Easter. We just come together and we fellowship with coffee and treats and high fives, but still have no way, no idea how to encounter the Lord. Parents, church, we need to teach our kids, teach the next generation how to encounter the Lord. Church, we need to continue to be passionate about the presence of God and about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Not just here, not just in worship, but everywhere we go. Later in the passage, finally Eli told Samuel how to encounter God. Samuel 3, verse 9, he says to him, stay still, go and lie down, and say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Lie down, stay still. Stay still and know that I am God. Maybe it's been a while since you've done this. Maybe you have never done this. Friends, the word of the Lord should never be rare in our day. The Holy Spirit is constantly teaching us, giving us a word, revealing Christ, revealing our destinies. Listen how this passage ends in Samuel 3, verse 21. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. Through his word. The Holy Spirit loves to teach us through his word. And I believe now more than ever, we need a word from the Lord. You need a word from the Lord. You need your God-ordained destiny. You need it for your family. You need it for your job, for your marriage, for your school, for that situation that seems impossible where you need a miracle. You need a word from the Lord. Our society is being assaulted on every side with worldly wisdom. Our minds are bombarded with worldly teachings and doctrines. We are constantly getting an update on what the devil is doing in our world, what the next threat is, what the next virus is, what the next war is, when the next financial collapse is going to happen. Friends, I don't care what the devil is doing. I need a word from the Lord. It's time we let the Holy Spirit teach us our God-ordained mission for this life. It's time that we get a word from the Lord. Because people that have a full revelation of Jesus can't be stopped. People with a word from God are the type of people that are on a mission. People that say, come what may, I don't care. I know what God has called me to do. And I will not swerve, and I will not compromise. I know what my orders are. People that say, as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. We will follow the Lord. So I challenge you this week to let the Holy Spirit teach you. Invite him into everything you do. He can teach you and guide you into your God-ordained destiny. Can we pray together? What I want to do is just get real quiet. Let's just quiet our hearts. Focus on Jesus. Lord, I pray as we quiet our hearts, Lord, and we focus on you. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to your children today, Lord, that they would receive a word from you. Lord, we're going to take a minute and just reflect on what you have done this morning. speaking to us today through your Bible. What a gift that is to us, Lord. Thank you that you didn't abandon us here, Lord, that you sent your Holy Spirit so we'd never be alone. Thank you that you're constantly guiding us, teaching us, Lord. Lord, would you go with us this week everywhere we go? Lord, would you illuminate your word for us, bringing us to revelation? Lord, would you teach us how to teach the next generation how to encounter you? Make us sensitive to the Spirit, Lord. Help us to hear that still, calm voice, Lord, everywhere we go, in everything that we do. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you are blessed and encouraged by the message today.